Blog Talk Radio.
Interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Welcome, friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, and seekers of the truth. But whoever you are, I know one thing that we all share in common. Don't we all want to know the truth about what's going on here in this crazy, chaotic, confusing world? So welcome to the 589th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria, solely for the glory of God. And the title of this message today is 2023 Endgame Update Number 5. And a bit later in this message, folks, we're going to tie it all into this very literal power. And yes, I say power, the power of worship. Jesus says in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers," that's you and me, folks, "shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Now, God is a spirit, and that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. So I hope you stay tuned to learn the meaning, the motive, and the method of worship in spirit and truth, which is power from on high. Remember, the Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. That's Psalm 22, verse 3, folks. But the bottom line is that as believers, we may be in this world, but we're not of this world. We're just God's people passing through. So let's all refuse to be destroyed by this Luciferian all-out war on humanity. And be sure to stay tuned, folks. Find out the latest news that the lying mainstream media will never tell you as we dive deeper and deeper into America's new 9/11 events, which are unfolding in slow motion while on steroids. But remember how it all started. It all started with this lab engineered, media manipulated coronavirus heist. And as we start every week, folks, let's look at something from last week's episode. Now, just last week, folks, we played an interview, a very powerful interview, of Dr. Andrew Huff on Emerald Robinson's show. And what I'd like to do right now is just take a little bit from the beginning of that. That was a rather long clip. What I'd like to do is just play the first couple minutes to remind you and then introduce you to who Dr. Huff is.
More than 150 firefighters wrapped out 2022 by fighting a massive fire at a large grain storage facility in Hemlock, Michigan. Investigators estimate that the fire destroyed 3 million bushels of corn. No one was working at the time, and no one, fortunately, was hurt. This follows a suspicious trend, however, we saw throughout the year of 2022, from Arizona to New York. Last April in Oregon, a fire destroyed the headquarters of the largest independent food distributor in the country called Azure Standard. It was a huge fire, but it was just the beginning. Take a look at all of these headlines. Overall, there were several dozen fires across the country last year where large amounts of food were destroyed while no one was on ship. The exact number is unclear, but it's estimated there were as many as 90 food processing plants or farm fires as of last summer. Dr. Andrew Huff says he has a possible explanation for these suspicious fires. Huff said he had government information simulating what would happen if there was an attack on the food supply. It analyzed which food and agriculture facilities were the most vulnerable. You might recall that Huff has been a repeated target by Michigan police and the federal government since he's the Echo Health Alliance whistleblower. Huff says that's why the FBI confiscated those hard drives that supposedly had information on how the U.S. government coordinated attacks on U.S. food supply. Huff believes they dumped this data and it's being used to attack American farms and food processing plants. And joining me now to discuss this is Dr. Andrew Huff himself, the Echo Health Alliance whistleblower and the former vice president of Echo Health Alliance. He's also a bioterrorism expert, veteran, and scientist. Additionally, he's also the author of the new book we've been sharing with you, The Truth About Wuhan, How I Uncovered the Biggest Lie in History. Thank you for being here, Dr. Huff. You know, we're always talking about Echo Health Alliance.
Okay, so I hope that gives you a perspective of what we talked about last week. And this is very alarming, folks. So this week, just after this controversial power pack dynamic interview on Emerald Robinson's, Mike Adams had him on his podcast. And what I'd like to do is play an excerpt from there where Dr. Huff gives a little more background on who he is and what's going on. This is about a three-minute clip, folks, and it gives you a very good understanding of why we ought to take what Dr. Huff is saying with a certain degree concern.
Welcome to this exclusive Brighteon.com interview. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon, and today we're joined by Dr. Andrew Huff, who is a whistleblower, as he's being called right now, but also an author of a really important book called The Truth About Wuhan. And he's a former top person at EcoHealth Alliance, so he knows all about SARS-CoV-2. He knows all about Wuhan, and he's got a lot to tell us today in this interview. Thank you for joining us, and thank you, Dr. Huff, for joining me today. It's an honor.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Well, absolutely. You are a very courageous whistleblower, and I think a lot of people have heard your some of your interviews, but for any who haven't, please give us a quick overview of who you are, the work you did, and why you're going public now with these warnings.
Sure. So I'm not your typical scientist. I began my career in the military, actually. So I'm a product of 9/11. After 9/11 happens, I'm actually walking to college as that event occurs. And I decide to join the military with my friends in the Army as an infantryman. So I was combat deployed to Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom. And at one point in my life, I thought I was going to be an economist or a finance guy. And war changed my perspective. I actually wanted to go back into science. So I have degrees in psychology, security technology is my master's with geographic information systems, so quantitative analytics. And my PhD, or like you mentioned, I'm an infectious disease epidemiologist. So during my PhD, though, I was a research fellow at the National Center for Food Protection Defense, which was a Department of Homeland Security Center of Excellence.
Okay, so that explains your knowledge about the food security issues that have been happening, some of the sabotage and things that are going on.
Oh, yeah, we can get into that. So
yeah.
I was actually handed a highly sensitive but not yet classified data set from the Department of Homeland Security as part of my doctoral thesis.
I see.
And so anyways, it contained all the data from the U.S. food system, and I was trying to figure out how to attack the system, where the vulnerabilities lied, to develop new analytical tools and processes and risk analytical tools for the Department of Homeland Security and other agencies.
Can I ask you before you go on?
Sure.
In that, was it a shocker to you to realize how vulnerable the system was and the lack of redundancy in the system, or did you find that we have a lot of redundancy in food distribution and supply chains?
Well, over time, the food industry is under a lot of pressure to become more vertically integrated and have less redundancy to maximize profit. So oftentimes, what's good for the country is counter to what the business objectives are of large food corporations or even small companies. So the redundancy issue, we live in a just-in-time economy. That's the jargon term for it. So meaning the product that you buy at the grocery store was probably only created or made about 2 weeks before you purchase it.
Yeah.
Okay, so that gives you a picture of Dr. Huff. And I encourage you to go out and listen to the interview, folks. But Dr. Huff, when he was promoted to vice president over at the Eco Health Alliance, became Peter Daszak's right-hand man. And do you remember what Eco Health Alliance Peter Daszak had to say about gain of function?
But if you're saying these are diverse coronaviruses and you can't vaccinate against them, there are no antivirals, what do we do?
Well, so I think coronaviruses are pretty good. I mean, you're a virologist, you know all this stuff, but you can manipulate them in the lab pretty easily.
It's just
spike protein drives a lot of what happens with the coronavirus, zoonotic risk. So you can get the sequence, you can build the protein, and we work with Ralph Barrick at UNC mm-hmm. to do this, insert it into the backbone of another virus
right.
and do some work in the lab. So you can get more predictive when you find a sequence. You've got this okay. diversity. Now, the logical progression for vaccines is if you're going to develop a vaccine for SARS,
mm-hmm.
people are going to use pandemic SARS as
yeah, sure, sure.
But let's try and insert some of these other
yeah,
sure. related and get a better vaccine.
And I guess also knowledge of what's there. If you see something emerging, it give you a head start on making
yeah.
a vaccine or a therapeutic.
That's true. And you know, better knowledge of where they are as well. So
yeah.
you can put your money into these clinics that matter. And that's one of the big things that we've been trying to push. There's a lot of the word predict or the word, you know, the anticipating, forecasting pandemics. It doesn't mean you can stop them. That's the problem. So what we're trying to do is say, on a global scale, if we can show where they're most likely to come from, the species they're most likely to originate mm-hmm. in, the people most likely to get affected, a global actor like WHO or a national government can better allocate resources to the highest risk. It's
okay.
pretty simple.
Thank you, Dr. Andrew Huff. What you just heard there from his boss, Peter Daszak, over at the EcoHealth Alliance is pure evil. So I'd encourage you to get Dr. Andrew Huff's book and understand these lies. This man is laying it all on the line. But we have to keep moving, folks. And right now it's time for Sister Kathy's and Brother Alex's Freaky Deaky News Update. And before we get into the coronavirus heist update, I just want to welcome all the new listeners coming in from Sister Kathy's Tribulation Now page. I've been a operator, or I don't know what you call it, an administrator on that site, and I haven't been using it. And Sister Kathy doesn't have her computer anymore, and that site's been kind of dormant. So I went over there, posted last week's episode, and saw a whole wave of new listeners. So welcome all of you from Tribulation Now's website. And if you don't know me or don't remember me, I'm Kenneth from the original Tribulation Now show we did with John Seitzinger. Some people know him as John Baptist. But long story short, folks, I want to get that Facebook page up and working again and kind of carry on what Sister Kathy did, because we have a lot of outreach there. That's enough said on that. Right now, let's get started with our coronavirus heist update. And we all ought to know by now that the scamdemic, and that's what it truly was a heist, the coronavirus heist, as I called it. And for you new listeners, folks, that was a little rap video I put together early on back in the spring, I mean late winter, early spring of 2020. And I posted it on one of Sherry Tenpenny's tweets. And that video went viral. Put the word out. I've been doing this podcast since 2011. And we shifted it into an emergency update during the scamdemic. And we still cover a biblical message at the end, folks, but we're trying to get the truth out. And we begin this episode, or this portion of the episode, with the sudden adult death syndrome update. And, you know, these sudden deaths, or these SADs, are occurring at an ever-increasing rate. It's actually becoming a little disturbing right now how many I have to skip over to cover the few that I do mention. For example, this week, 23-year-old Georgia police officer suddenly dies during a foot chase. And there's a mother in Argentina outraged after losing her 8-year-old daughter after receiving the COVID jab. Yasmina Antonella Guevara says that her 8-year-old daughter died suddenly on January 11th due to what's known as vasculitis, That's an inflammation of the blood vessels, folks, and we're learning. And she developed vasculitis after receiving the COVID shot. It's sad, folks. So pray for the family of hers, and pray for Clarence C.J. Williams' family. He's the officer from Georgia, died suddenly while running. And how about the 18-year-old athlete on life support now after suffering sudden cardiac arrest during a basketball game, folks? He's a senior from Northwestern High School. He's in critical condition after suffering a cardiac arrest. His name's Cartier Wood. Pray for him and his family. 18-year-old, cardiac arrest. How about the 23-year-old from Arizona? He was a swim champion at University of Arizona, Ty Well. Star, a superstar from 2018 to 2022. So this guy's in shape. Died unexpectedly last Friday. He was 23. The sudden and unexpected death is unexplained. You know, folks, it's interesting how all the old, out-of-shape bureaucrats in D.C. aren't dropping dead. You know, those fat cats who push the jab, the A-list celebrities, politics in Congress, Joe Biden, some of these people in the NGOs like Bill Gates, they never seem to die suddenly. Have you seen lately, folks? He's in about the most god-awful physical shape I've ever seen a man of his age. Do you see the gut on him? Those boosters would have done him in, folks, if he took the real ones. Yet he won't let his children take them, and I doubt he did either. So that tells me, seeing that none of these people are dying, that they're taking fake jabs, folks. So the medical examiners are probably looking all over the place to try to understand the deaths of all these apparently healthy athletes. And they're probably thinking, oh, it's either the common cold or acid reflux or cold showers or too much video game playing or dust in the air. Now, you may be saying, bro, Ken, you're crazy. Come on, man. You really think anybody's saying that? Well, this could have been in the Absurdian report. But what I'd like to do is share this with you. This is one of the crazies over at MSNBC. I didn't even know they were still on the air, folks. This is one of their regular talking heads, Yasmin Vosogian. And she's going to tell us a little bit about what happened to her. Let's have a listen.
I know from my Twitter feed that many of you have wondered why I have been off the air for a little while. Well, I have been dealing with a little bit of a health scare. On December 20th, I began to feel chest pains, and they waxed and waned over a period of 10 days. I wasn't quite sure what to make of it, but as they continued to get worse, I started to think something was actually wrong. It was December 30th when I finally went to an urgent care and was told I had reflux. I didn't really buy it, but I was relieved it wasn't my heart. My body, though, was pretty certain not to believe the reflux. The next day, on December 30th, I woke up with severe pains both in my chest and in my left shoulder, and it was like a tightening in my chest when I took deep breaths. That got worse when I was laying flat. I knew enough at that moment to understand that it could mean, could is the key word here, that I was having a heart attack, especially because it was happening in the left part of my shoulder. I want to remind you, I run 7 miles 3 to 4 times a week, or I did. I do yoga. I don't eat meat. I don't smoke. I drink occasionally. Not right now, though, because my doctor tells me I can't. Aside from probably not getting enough sleep and working too much, I'm a pretty healthy person. But on that day, I was anything but. My husband drove me to the emergency room, and from there, the nightmare that has been my January began. I was diagnosed with pericarditis, inflammation of the lining of my heart, brought on by a virus. A literal common cold. I also had fluid around my heart that had to be drained or else it could hinder the beating of my heart. I was hospitalized for 4 nights and transferred from a local hospital to NYU Langone here in New York City. On January 4th, I was finally discharged after doctors drained the fluid around my heart, and I bounced out of the hospital. I couldn't get out of there fast enough with the hopes I was on the mend. But that was not the end. 3 days later, I was readmitted when I felt a flutter in my heart. Like a butterfly, it was inside my chest. They determined I had developed myocarditis, inflammation of the actual heart now, the heart muscle. I remember being shepherded through the emergency room and wondering, is this it? It wasn't, thank God. Instead, I spent 5 more days in the hospital where they ran a battery of tests, adjusted my meds, and made sure nothing else was...
What? What? Are you serious? Can I have some more coffee?
That's right, Paul. All that, Yasmin believes, came from a cold virus. Can you imagine being so cultish in your worldview that you can't see or even admit the lies that you live? And the lies that almost got you killed? That's the matrix, folks, that most normies, most blue-pilled, are imprisoned in. Paul, you should have seen that blank doll stare on her face. She has been brainwashed. She's speaking into the camera, and she looked like a zombie. You know, if I could speak to her, I'd say, hey, Yasmin, remember that old saying about what you don't know won't hurt you? Have you heard that one, Yasmin? What you don't know won't hurt you. I know, we all have heard that. What you don't know won't hurt you. Well, that's a lie. That's a lie from the pits of hell, folks. So wake up, everyone, before it's too late. Just do a simple search on the web with the following phrase, okay? Contradictions, RNA shots. Just type that in. Use something other than Google. Use DuckDuckGo. Use the Uncheck, I think it's called. Use Brave. Brave's a very good one. I'm using that one now, folks. Type in contradictions from the mRNA shots. And you'll be blown away by what you read. So my question to all of you is, why isn't that out on the mainstream media? Why? Because you're living in the matrix. Remember, folks, these are not vaccinations. They changed the definition. These are genetic mutagens, which are restructuring your RNA, changing it in your liver to DNA, and then using your body as a spike protein factory to further damage your body. Folks, vaccinations, they're death jabs designed to kill the dumbasses in our society. And I'm sorry I was so blunt there, folks. But if you want to save your life and the life of your loved ones, you've got to begin to wake up. And if you've taken the shot, don't despair. There are some protocols out there now to reverse the spike protein. We talked about them on past episodes. Email me at kdbeer1961@gmail.com if you need one of those protocols. But licorice root extract, along with a few other derivatives, one from pine needles, couple other naturally occurring type compounds actually unwind the spike protein and denature it. So let's get with this, folks. And let's recognize that we've been censored, stifled, mocked, and ridiculed. Did you hear about this one? The Hollywood actress Annie Wurchenberg. She was in Star Trek, The Dead at 45. Now, she died of a cancer. Supposedly, her cancer went into remission back in 2020. So the question we have to ask is, was her cancer, in fact, in remission after treatment back in 2020 with a vengeance? We'll probably never know, folks, but that's another thing that these jabs are doing. Cancer survivors are suddenly seeing a rapid growth in tumors, sometimes unrelated to the previously diagnosed cancer. So what we're seeing these spike proteins do, folks, is they attack the weakest part of your body. In the case of my mother-in-law, it was her heart and her liver. So the question we ought to ask her is, we can't, was, Annie, is your cancer in remission? Plus, how about the 32-year-old firefighter in the Marine Corps vet? Died suddenly. This was an Ohio resident. A firefighter and a vet from the Marine Corps died suddenly last week, and no details of the cause of his death have been released. You know, these reports are becoming so commonplace And I think we ought to just list vaccination status with these deaths. People are just dropping like flies. And the world wants us to believe because of global warming, cold showers, the common cold. Folks, some people are even blaming gas stoves. In fact, did you know that Chuckie Schumer's trying to take them away from we the people? And he's on the line mainstream media saying, that's not true. You can keep your gas stoves. No. Read the proposed legislation that Schumer's behind. They want to put such a strain on our electrical grid that it collapses. You know, I can just picture all the confused coroners out there and the embalmers today witnessing these sudden and unexpected deaths, this surge in deaths from all these young people. And I can picture them calling the FDA helpline and that call going something like this.
Hello, you have reached the FDA coroner's hotline. For baffled, press 1. For unexpected, press 2. For unknown, press 3. For leaking DNC dirt, press 4. For the clot shot, press 5. And be sure to stay on the line so the FBI Lie Disinformation Squad may trace your call. Thank you, and have a good day.
Bottom line, folks, being lied to. Did you hear about the MIT professor and drug safety expert, Retsev Levi, saying, stop the jab? Take a listen to this clip, folks. About 6.5 minutes long, and it's packed full. Some very serious science is saying, stop the death jabs.
Hi. My name is Retsev Levi, and since 2006, I'm a faculty member at MIT in Cambridge, Massachusetts. I have more than 30 years of experience as a practitioner and an academic in using data and analytics to assess and manage risk, particularly in the context of health systems, health policies, as well as the management of safety and quality of manufacturing of biologic drugs. I'm filming this video to share my strong conviction that at this point in time, all COVID mRNA vaccination program should stop immediately. They should stop because they completely failed to fulfill any of their advertised promise regarding efficacy. And more importantly, they should stop because of the mounting and indisputable evidence that they cause unprecedented level of harm, including the death of young people and children. I personally became concerned with the vaccine safety around middle of 2021 when it became known that the mRNA vaccines cause myocarditis and inflammation of the heart. Since myocarditis is known to be hard to diagnose, because it often has vague symptoms or can even be subclinical with no symptoms. It's also known to be a frequent cause of out-of-the-hospital sudden cardiac arrest, especially among young people. I was very concerned that it will not be detected by the existing vaccine safety surveillance systems. Motivated by that, we decided to analyze the Israel National EMS data to see if there are any signals of increased out-of-the-hospital adverse events. The analysis of the EMS calls and diagnosis data from 2019 throughout the first half of 2021 revealed some very concerning signals. We detected an increase of 25% in the calls with cardiac arrest diagnosis among ages 16 to 39 in the first half of 2021. Exactly when the vaccination campaign in Israel was launched. A smaller increase was also detected in the older ages. Moreover, we also detected a statistically significant temporal correlation between the number of the Pfizer vaccine doses administered to this population and the number of EMS calls with cardiac arrest diagnosis. Interestingly, we did not find any statistically significant correlation with the number of COVID-19 infections during this period of time. While this is not a proof of causal relationship, it left us very concerned, especially given the non-suspect clinical mechanism. And we called for an immediate thorough investigation by the Israeli Ministry of Health to investigate what are the underlying causal mechanisms of this observed increase in the cardiac arrest calls. Unfortunately, to the best of my knowledge, such thorough investigation was never conducted. By now, I believe that the cumulative evidence is conclusive and confirms our concern that the mRNA vaccines indeed cause sudden cardiac arrest as a sequel of vaccine-induced myocarditis. And this is potentially only one mechanism by which they cause harm. Data from UK, Scotland, and Australia replicate the data from Israel. Additional data from Israel indicates that in 2021, the EMS in Israel conducted more than 3,000 more resuscitations compared to 2019, which amounts for an increase of 27%. Two prospective studies from Thailand and Switzerland in which vaccinees were tested before and after they received the vaccine indicate that the rates of heart damage are likely to be significantly higher than the rates detected by clinical diagnosis. This is exactly the same finding that the U.S. military found in 2015 when it conducted a similar study on the smallpox vaccine. Another study from the Harvard Medical School detected in the blood of children with vaccine-induced myocarditis an entire spike, which is another indication of the underlying mechanism of harm, but in fact has even broader implications about the safety of the vaccine, given that the repeated evidence that we have that our mRNA and the lipids are actually penetrating the blood system. And finally, autopsies of people that died closely after they received the vaccine indicates that in a large number of cases, there is strong evidence that the death was caused by vaccine-induced myocarditis. So presented with all of this evidence, I think that there is no other ethical or scientific choice but to pull out of the market these medical products and stop all the mRNA vaccination programs. This is clearly the most failing medical product in the history of medical products, both in terms of efficacy and safety. And we need to investigate and think hard, how did we end up in a situation that it's also the most profitable medical product in the history of medical products? Thank you for your attention.
So there you heard it, folks, from an eminent MIT professor and an expert on drug safety and analytics. And here's a direct quote from that. Look, we just caused an unprecedented level of harm, including the death of young people and children. Need I say more, folks? And did you hear this report? It's a article out on the Daily Clout, and I'm just going to read the headline because I don't have a lot of time here. COVID vaccines killed 278,000 Americans by the end of 2021. This was from a peer-reviewed study, folks, yet we hear nothing on the mainstream media, and that's because they're part of the matrix. You have become a prisoner in your minds to the lies of the deep state, the Luciferians. Call them whatever you want. Men are renowned, the Nephilim, the giants of Greek and Roman folklore, you know, the gods. Call them whatever you want. Praise the Lord, folks. More and more people are waking up to the scamdemic and all the perfidy surrounding it. Right when the WHO, or I should say, the WHO and their leader, Tedros, he's a New World Order plant, folks. He's a United Nations hack. Listen to what he had to say.
As you know, On Friday, the emergency committee met to consider whether that remains the case. The committee has advised me that, in its view, COVID-19 remains a global health emergency, and I agree.
So why all this coming out of the WHO right now? Well, 3 years after the scamdemic, countries are starting to wake up and returning to their pre-pandemic behaviors. And they just can't have this. These control freaks can't have it. Japan, for example, you know, first they introduced ivermectin and they saw a great drop. And then just this past week, Japan has recategorized COVID-19 in the same class as a seasonal flu. The Prime Minister of Japan, Fumio Kishida, announced earlier this month that he's instructed his cabinet to reclassify COVID-19 into the same category as the seasonal flu, rubella, and chickenpox. And here's a quote from Kishida. In order to further advance the efforts of living with corona and restore Japan to a state of normalcy, we will transition the various policies and measures to date in phases. And then just this past Monday, we hear Tedros come out with this craziness. Of America need to wake up. The WHO's pushing for treaties with countries, including the U.S., which will literally hand the sovereignty of our nation over to the World Health Organization, along with everything else to handle pandemics and national emergencies. Come on, people. Don't let this happen. In the past 3 years, these control freaks, these globalists, these one percenters have destroyed the economies of the world and America. And now our children are years behind in social and intellectual development. That's by design, folks. And now our government won't get off the COVID-19 nonsense until Biden's May 11th. Did you hear that edict that came out from his regime this week? And now we're starting to see that more people are dying from the jab than from this non-existent virus. Yeah, we're going to have the emergency till May 11th. What's that all about? And the flu and pneumonia, they're back. Why? Because they never left. Everything was being classified as COVID. Remember, they were running the PCR tests, overcycling it. And you can find those fragments of any molecule if you cycle enough. Folks, remember, the hospitals were being paid $39,000 for each patient they forced onto a ventilator. The bottom line, they're being paid to kill. No wonder they kept out all visitors. No wonder family members couldn't visit their loved ones. They didn't want witnesses to the murders. So bottom line, folks, the WHO, the World Health Organization, having anything to do with your country, your health, or your rights. Just like Trump said, love them or hate them, whatever you may think of them, he said, do not fund the World Health Organization. Get out of it. And we did. And as soon as the Biden regime got in, we got back in. But folks, I'm looking at the clock, and I have to keep moving. We have a lot to cover today, and I'm already almost 40 minutes through the show. So it's time for our Kabuki Theater update.
COVID-19, George Floyd, Rice, BLM, police reform, the 2020 elections, all merely coincidence? I hardly think so. Folks, it's called Kabuki Theater from Japanese. Ka means solve, boo means dance, ki means steal from the verb, kabu means to slant or to sway. Folks, it's all a lot. It's the flatten the curve, the curve of the economy, stupid, must slow down the velocity of money, or it'll hyperinflate before we're done, stealing it all, Trump, bad, must go, good is bad is good, up is down, light is dark, it's all Kabuki Theater, folks, prepping the masses for agenda 2030 and the new world order. Just say no to it all and wake up before it's too late.
You know, I refer to this entire false reality we're living in as the Matrix, and a lot of people, my good friend Rick said in some text last night, well, I just don't buy that whole Matrix thing. Let me ask you a question. Rick, I hope you're listening. What have you heard recently about the election in Arizona? Well, if you're a normie or a blue pill believer, probably nothing. But the bombshells continue to drop in this contested gubernatorial election out in Arizona. You know where Katie Hobbs, the deep state insider funded by George Soros, the criminal, convicted criminal, stole the election from Carrie Lake, who had a 12 percentage point lead the day before. And then in Maricopa County, the most populous county in Arizona, voting machines didn't work. Ballots were missized by a printer setting. And then ballots lost their chain of custody. I'm not talking a couple hundred. I'm not talking a couple thousand. I'm talking hundreds of thousands in an election lost by 17,000 votes. Well, Greg Sinchfield, former host over at Newsmax. Oh, and by the way, did you hear Newsmax was just taken off of Comcast? Just like One American Network was, what, a year or two ago? Well, Sinchfield was even too truthful for Newsmax. Did an about-face on election fraud. Listen to what he had to say about what's going on in the contested governor's race out in Arizona.
Welcome back, everyone. So more bombshells continue to drop in Arizona, especially Maricopa County, where Kerry Lake has a real case. I'll tell you the travesty of all of this. Is there is a woman sitting in the governor's mansion in Arizona that should not be there. Katie Hobbs stole this election. The Democrats stole this election for her. All of the evidence that I am seeing now, this was a setup job, and it is frightening to think that this can go on in America. Now, we know it can because we saw it play out in 2020 for President Trump. Now we see it play out in 2022 for the race for governor in Arizona. Kerry Lake, her people had found signature verifications that if you were to look at all these signatures, they don't look like anything. I've seen pictures of the signatures. They don't look like anything close to one signature versus the other. They should have been thrown out. You had tabulators. Now they're estimating up to 250,000 votes should have been thrown out or weren't read because of these tabulators. Now remember, Katie Hobbs won by 17,000 votes. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of votes. And those Maricopa County miraculously finds 25,000 votes just days after the election. They find 25,000 votes.
So there you have it, folks. We heard all about the control they want to have over our health with the Global Plandemic Treaty. And then we hear about all this control over our elections. They're gaining control of our food supply. This is a clip from a Canadian dairy farmer who had to dump 30,000 liters of milk. Why? Was the milk spoiled? No. Was the milk compromised in some way with a hormone that the government said you can't have in the milk? The only reason this farmer had to dump 30,000 liters of milk is because he exceeded his monthly quota. So this farmer, Jerry Heumann, I think his name is, don't quote me on that, folks. Yeah, Jerry Heumann is outraged in this clip you're going to hear. And he's calling out the Canadian government and the Dairy Farmers of Ontario, also known as the DFO, for allowing this waste of literally hundreds of thousands of liters of fresh milk, despite the food shortages and the inflation and the need that's everywhere for good, clean food. Have a listen.
Hey, guys. We're here at Give and Go's Farm in Southern Ontario. We milk about 260 cows. Right now, during the winter months, you milk quite a bit more milk because the feed is very consistent. And if you do a good job, you will produce quite a bit of milk. So, but right now, we're over our quota. It's regulated by the government and by the DFO. But the problem is what they don't understand is millions of people, look at this milk running away, because it's the end of the month, so I dump 30,000 liters of milk, and it breaks my heart. I will show you, by the way, this here, Canadian milk, is $7 a liter. When I go for my haircut, people say, wow, $7, Jerry, for a little bit of milk. I say, well, you have to go higher up, because we have no say anymore as a dairy farmer on our own farm, because they make us dump it. And no matter how we stand up, so this time I'm going public. I want the people to see the pain that us growers have of 365 days as a little boy. We grew up on a dairy farm, came from Europe, work, And here we are. This is what's happening. Oh, by the way, only one country in the world here in Canada. There's not the United States, not Europe, where they dump thousands of liters when they're over. But we're not supposed to talk about this. Because, I don't know, it's just one of those things. But as is happening, I hope the DFO does look at this and says to herself, you tell me, if you're in the pig business, the wood industry, any steel industry, if you're 10% over when your times are good, how can you, so for us when it's good, our little bit of profit, it goes down the drain. How do you guys dare to put this garbage in the market for $7 a liter and think that that's okay when there's a lot of mothers, single mothers with no extra, like they have maybe a few kids to feed or whatever, or the sick kids hospital it could go to. It could go anywhere to the food banks. But I hope you're proud, and I think you're going to be surprised, because yes, my name is Jerry Hugan. And I'm very proud that we send a really good product. And that you just kind of tell us, well, throw it down the drain. Nobody sees it. It's okay, but it's not okay. So, with that being said, it's one of the best products in the world. We've been milking here for 43 years. So I just hope that people will share this. I hope that I haven't offended anybody, but the dairy industry for my kids, it has to keep growing. We are not growing, not even by 10%. We get a little bit of quota for free, okay, that gets given to us. It should never be that way. You should buy, just like a trucker has to buy his transport truck, okay? And by the way, my 90 cents that I get from my liter of raw milk, they really have to do nothing to it because it's the best milk in the world. But what happens is I pay for the trucking, I pay for the commercialized, everything gets paid to the farmer. Okay, so, but anyways, I do want to see, as you can see here, Abraham, the good product, the cows are happy. I mean, look at these cows, right? They are free roaming, she's got a smile. So, anyhow, all I can say is I'm standing up a little bit for the local people, and I hope you think to yourself, hey, that farmer for 90 cents and they're paying $7, where does the extra money go? And they capped us, so I can't grow my business at all. What am I going to tell my four kids? Hey, how do you want me to do it? Since 3 years ago, they capped us. We're going to go 6% higher in interest, like 6%, we're looking at high interest rates. Three times over on fuel. We are not going to stay in business in this country. So Justin Trudeau and Rob Ford, I'd love to take you for dinner, okay? Call me, sit down with Hugan Gross Farms. And I think shit like this, we have so much poverty over the whole world. Hardworking people like myself, I dare to say that 7 days a week as a little boy, I have looked at foreign workers. They're sick to this. Mr. Hugan, what are you doing? I said, well, at the end of the month, I have to dump all my milk. Supposed to keep it quiet. Take that to the bank.
Folks, you know, this is pure evil. This is a great example of how they, the establishment, the one percenters, the Luciferians, the Sabbateans, the offspring of the fallen angels and the daughters of men, how they control the food supplies, not for the benefit of the people, but for the benefit of the government and the big corporations at the cost of we the people. They don't care about you or me. They could care nothing about you or me. These are great examples of how the government isn't for the people. In fact, it's doing harm rather than good, and that's why I say it's pure evil. Folks, this group, the DFO, is the marketing group for the largest sector of Ontario's agriculture arm, and those are the Ontario Dairy Farmers. There's about 4,000 members in this group, and they're regulated by the Canadian government. And what happens is all the milk in Ontario has to go through the DFO, then it's sold to processors. And like you heard Jerry say, he gets about 97 cents per liter, yet they're selling it for $7. And what do you really have to do to it? Well, you have to process it. That involves pasteurizing it and killing all the beneficial microbial activity that's in a glass of milk. and then they put it into a little cardboard container or a plastic container, and they ship it to the grocery store. And they increase the price by 7x. Yeah, it's not about we the people, folks. It truly isn't. And people need to see this. The lie from the pits of hell. Now, according to Reuters, was seeking a second trade dispute settlement over Canada's dairy import quotas. So this is causing some waves, but what we're seeing happening under the auspices of the World Health Organization and the World Economic Forum and so many other of these non-governmental organizations, you know, these are the groups that are appointed, not elected, yet they control public policy. But they're all coming in line. So you're going to see this happening in all the Western nations. Look what's happening in the Netherlands. They've established nitrogen quotas. They're attacking our food supplies, folks. This is part of the matrix. And yet the normies, the blue pill, don't see any of it as they destroy our families and even our children. And speaking of pure evil, folks, they're using something known as sex magic. We're going to get into that in Ken's Corner and Back to the Future. But take a listen to how children are being taught about gender today. This is a 3-minute and 47-second clip from a YouTube channel that's now being played in preschools and kindergartens. Yes, preschoolers and kindergartens are hearing what you're going to hear next. Now, I played this for Terry last night, and you should have seen her face. She was dumbfounded. Well, everyone out there who doesn't believe that the Matrix is real, have a listen to this clip.
Hey there, friends. Welcome to Queer Kid Stuff. I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Teddy.
Today, we're talking more about gender.
Again?
Yes, Teddy. And this time, we're going to learn a brand new word, non-binary.
All are part of one big family. Gay means happy. Queer Kid Stuff. You are enough here at Queer Kid Stuff.
Teddy, are you ready?
Ready, Lindsay.
Okay. Today we're learning a new word that has to do with gender.
I like new words.
It's a new vocabulary word.
Vocabulary.
The new word is non-binary.
Oh, I like that word. Non-binary. What does it mean?
Well, actually it's kind of two words. Binary and non-binary.
Huh?
I'm going to bring in a friend to help me out with this one. You ready to meet them?
Oh, yes, friends. New friends.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hello.
Teddy, this is my friend Emmy. Emmy actually helps us out with Queer Kid Stuff.
Yep, I make the puppets and help make everything look good.
Oh, cool. Hi, Emmy. I've got two questions for you.
Shoot.
What are your pronouns and how do you identify?
I use they-them pronouns and I identify as transmasculine and non-binary.
That's our new word.
It sure is, Teddy.
Emmy, can you help Lindsay tell me what non-binary means?
Absolutely. You're going to talk about what the binary is first, right, Lindsay?
Yeah, I think that's the right place to start. So it's actually pretty simple, Teddy. The first part of the word binary is bi. Do you recognize that?
Yeah, like bisexual.
Exactly. So binary has to do with two things. Bi means two. Those two things have to do with gender.
The binary is about boys and girls, that boy and girl are the only two genders.
But that's not right. There are they pronouns.
Exactly right, Teddy. That's actually what non-binary is.
Non-binary means that you aren't part of the binary, that you fall outside of or somewhere in between boy and girl.
A lot of people who use they pronouns identify as non-binary, like me.
Oh. So non-binary is another word for someone who uses they pronouns?
Exactly.
Does that mean I'm non-binary too?
Maybe. There are some other words people use to describe themselves when they are non-binary.
Yeah, some people use gender creative.
Or gender fluid.
Or gender queer. Actually, do you remember our friend Claudia from our intersex episode?
Oh yeah. She said she's gender queer.
That's right, Teddy. Is there a word that feels right to you?
I don't know. but I really like our new word, non-binary. It's just so much fun to say.
I like it a lot too, Teddy. It took me a little while to figure it out, but I'm really glad I found this word. Thanks for having me on, Lindsay.
It's good to have you on, Emmy.
See you around.
Bye, Emmy.
I'm really glad Emmy could help me teach you what non-binary means.
Me too.
Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for watching Queer Kids Stuff. We've got a whole new season of videos coming every other Wednesday. Don't forget to hit subscribe on the YouTube channel, like the Facebook page, and donate to our Patreon page like our pals over there. You can also check out our website, queerkidsstuff.com.
We'll see you next time at Queer Kids Stuff.
Now, folks, if you think, oh, that was just produced last week or last year, that was posted on February 7th, 2018. And the host of the show, the content creator, is a Lindsay Amer. She's an American LGBTQ plus activist and a YouTuber. And she's been recognized by GLAAD, and she's even had a TED conference talk. And she's received what's known as Webby Awards for her work relating to the LGBT education and advocacy. Now, that's today, or at least the last 5, 6, 7 years. And let's have a listen to what I learned about gender when I was a child from none other than Mr. Rogers himself.
Are fancy on the outside. Some are fancy on the inside. Yes, sir. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Boys are boys from the beginning. If you were born a boy, you stay a boy. Girls are girls right from the start. If you were born a girl, you stay a girl and grow up to be a lady. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is mine. Only girls can be the mommies. Only boys can be the daddies. Yes, sir. Everybody's fancy. Everybody's fine. Your body's fancy, and so is
mine. I cut it off too soon, folks. I'm sorry. So some may be asking, well, what's the big deal, bro, Ken? It's just a bunch of words. Well, I'm telling you, folks, in the Matrix, words have power. In fact, the Bible says that words possess the power of life and death. And in the book of Deuteronomy, one of Jesus' favorite to quote from, there's a passage that says, choose life, not death. Choose blessings, not cursings. So these just words, I'm telling you, folks, they literally possess the power of life and death. And in this next clip, it's a grandma who's testifying at a landmark legislation activity over in the Virginia House of Delegates. This was last Tuesday, as this piece of legislation known as Sage's Law, House Bill 2432, which would make it illegal for schools to hide a child's alleged gender identity from its parents. So this legislation progressed and moved. Part of the reason why was that this grandma gave a gut-wrenching testimony as an adoptive mother of her teenage granddaughter. Now, this bill was named after her. Her name was Sage, and her grandma, Michelle Blair, adopted her daughter after Sage's dad tragically died. Now, Sage was horrifically sex trafficked and withheld from the custody of her family. And in her grandmother's own words, she says, this was ideologically motivated by officials who claimed that her parents failed to affirm her transgender identity. So let's have a listen. Sage's grandma give her testimony before the Virginia House of Delegates. This just happened this past Tuesday, folks. And I'm telling you, this is why it matters.
Okay, testimony. I believe first on deck is Michelle Blair. Ms. Blair, you're welcome.
Good morning. I am Sage's mother, better known as Nana. I adopted Sage after my son died when she was still a baby. She's been through 6 foster homes by then, but we loved her, and she blossomed into a joyful, lively girl who made music and art. Puberty began, and COVID hit, and she was treated for depression and anxiety, at times very severe. Her teachers shared any concerns with me so her treatment could be adapted. The transparency ended in August of 2021 when Sage started high school. She started a public high school, and she told me that all the girls there were bi, trans, lesbian, emo, and she wanted to wear boys' clothes and be emo. Because I saw it as just a phase, it was fine with me. But at school, she told them something different. She was now a boy named Brooke Draco with male pronouns. Sage asked the school not to tell me, and they did not tell me, even though I informed them of her mental health history and medication. If I had known, this would be a much different story. She was terribly bullied. No one told me, but boys followed her, touched her, threatened violence and rape. Something happened in the boys' bathroom, but for 2 days, the school told me nothing. They kept meeting with Sage alone, and she became so distraught, they called me to pick her up. That evening, I found a hall pass labeled Draco, and Sage told me she was identifying as a boy and that her counselor said she could use the boys' bathroom. She'd been jacked up against the wall by a group of boys. She was crying, terrified. I said, just stay home. We'll figure it out. That was my last conversation with Sage for 5 months. The night she ran, she thought to a young friend she'd met online. She left a note saying she was scared of what would happen if she stayed. The sheriff, FBI, search dogs were called in. I dropped to my knees in prayer. 9 days later, the FBI found her in Baltimore. My baby had been lured online, sex trafficked by DC, then Maryland. She was locked in a room, drugged, gang raped and brutalized by countless men. It was night. The FBI told us to pick her up in Maryland the next morning. We packed our cars with blankets and stuffed animals and arrived by 8 a.m., but we were told we couldn't see her and were summoned before Judge Robert Kershaw late that afternoon. They didn't even tell Sage that we came for her. We finally entered the courtroom, and Sage appears on a huge Zoom screen from a prison cell. She looks tiny and broken, and I cry out, I love you, Sage. Sage responds, I love you too, Nana. But attorney Anissa Khan rebukes us. She is a he, and his name is Draco, not Sage. We were floored. What? Khan accuses us of emotional and physical abuse, that we are misgendering her. Even though we just learned she claims to be trans and we're willing to use any name and pronouns to bring her home, my husband was so tearful he kept forgetting the new pronouns, so the judge had the bailiff remove him from the courtroom. I was pleading for my child to be returned and treated for her unspeakable trauma. Judge Kershaw told me if I used the word trauma again, he would throw me out too. For over 2 months, he withheld custody. He housed Sage in a male quarters of a children's home. Sage told me she was the only girl and repeatedly assaulted. She was given street drugs by the other kids, and Khan told her she didn't care. She just wanted to win the case and all the way to Supreme Court if necessary. Khan tried to prove abuse, but we were eventually cleared by both states of all charges. Sage later told me Khan had told her to lie, that we hit her. Khan even had Sage's school counselors testify against us, though they barely knew Sage, and they didn't know us at all. Khan told my precious child I didn't want her anymore. I found out Sage never received any of the letters I sent her. Sage ran from the children's home and disappeared for months. They told me she might already be gone forever, but I couldn't give up, and I finally found a tip on her social media that led the marshals to her in Texas. She had been drugged, raped, beaten, and exploited. This time, I was able to be with her for the traumatic rape exam and to bring her home. Back in Virginia, she entered the mental health facility that Judge Kershaw had ordered, as it would affirm her as a male. The therapist began pressuring her to have her healthy breasts removed. Sage was too scared to protest. but she asked me to secretly buy her girl's clothes because she wanted to be a girl but keep them in the car. It took a kind lawyer, Josh Hetzler, to secure her discharge. After almost a year, Sage was finally home, safe, alive. Sage is receiving professional trauma care. The first trafficker has already been convicted. Sage has nightmares, panic attacks, rape-related medical issues, but there's hope. I told her she's not broken, she's just scarred. And part of that hope is that in courageously sharing her story, others will be saved. Sage said she doesn't know who she was back then. She wasn't a boy. She just wanted to have friends. But her school, the judge, the attorney, and the doctor were all blinded by their ideology. The consequences for Sage were unspeakable. Please don't let ideology harm another child. Let parents do our jobs. We know our children best, and we love them a million times more. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
God bless you, Grandma. Folks, this is heartbreaking. Society should never have control over a child. The parent must parent the child. You know, children go through stages as they grow, and no one should ever be allowed to convince that little, pure, innocent child that they may be the wrong sex. That's child abuse, folks. And that should be considered a grave misconduct. In fact, it should be a statutory federal crime, in my opinion. And doctors have no rights to make decisions for a child without the parents even knowing. That's the responsibility of the parent. But this behavior is now being withheld from parents. Folks, I'm furious over this case. If I were the parent, I'd go on the offensive right now and have these social workers and all these do-gooders brought before the law. I'd get the best lawyers and the best doctors to testify to the horrors of what's going on here in this school and schools across the nation. And these woke doctors and social workers need to be put in jail. Folks, I'm so upset over this, I can hardly contain myself. Do you remember what C.S. Lewis had to say about this whole gender thing? And this was written back in the 1930s. I'm just going to read the last couple sentences. He said, masculine is not attenuated male, nor feminine attenuated female. On the contrary, the male and the female of organic creatures are rather faint and blurred reflections of the true masculine and feminine. Their reproductive functions, their differences in strength and size, partly exhibit but partly also confuse and misrepresent the real polarity. Folks, this is an attack from the Sabbateans, the deep state, the fallen angel offspring, the men of renown. Undermine and destroy God's pinnacle of creation, you and me. You know, this crazy and confused world is at the point where it seems to focus on sex to break down family and society. In fact, did you know, folks, that this is known as sex magic? And the truth is there's so much more relevance to life than just sex. Yet this culture has turned sex into idolatry. And, you know, idolatry is a form of false worship. We're going to cover what true worship is in spirit and in truth at the end of the show, so stay tuned. You know, this nation worships at the altar of Aphrodite. And don't get me going on this lawsuit that this woman faced, these charges that this woman was up against. That's called lawfare. And now Hunter Biden and his corrupt attorneys are using this against the whistleblowers in that case. Just like administration of Hobbs is now directing lawfare against Carrie Lake. Did you hear that they're contemplating bringing her up on criminal charges for protesting a corrupt election? Do you see what's going on in this world, folks? That's why I call it the Matrix. But we have to keep moving. And right now, it's time for our latest segment, another area where we're being lied to, and that's our money.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow the yellow brick road.
wonderful living above. You hang the end of the wind, if ever a wind there was. If ever, ever a wind there was, the wind above is one because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful wizard of Oz.
Remember, folks, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it. And anytime you want to see what's going on behind the scenes, behind the curtain, just follow the yellow brick road. You know, a lot of people think that the Wizard of Oz was nothing but a fairy tale, but we know that's not true. It was a social commentary concerning the money system of the day, gold and silver. There was a great battle going on between the proponents of silver and the proponents of gold. When we have real money, instead of this funny money now, this fiat money that's just printed at the whim of the government. And that's why we do this segment. Well, just this week, it was announced that Stephen Deese, the top economic aide or hack to the imposter-in-chief, Joe Biden, is stepping down. Now, Deese was the imposter-in-chief Biden's deep state controller on all matters economic. And Deese is stepping down mid-February. But what's interesting is that he has no new job lined up. And you want to know why? Because he sees what's coming. We are facing an economic collapse, folks, as the petrodollar is destroyed on show upon show upon show of what the petrodollar is and how the U.S. manages to continue to grow this fake economy in this empire. Just like Rome prior to its collapse, the United States is an empire, folks. I'm trying to show you the matrix here. We're being lied to, folks. So Deese is stepping down just 2 weeks after he predicted an economic recovery. Now he's out. Remember, he's the deep state insider that told us a while back that these high gas prices are part of the liberal world order plan.
Listen, we can't afford to pay $4.85 a gallon for months, if not years. This is just not sustainable.
Well, what you heard from the president today was a clear articulation of the stakes. This is about the future of the liberal world order, and we have to stand firm.
You heard it there, folks. See why I call it the Matrix? We just think gas prices are high because there's some crazy war going on in Ukraine. What's that have to do with anything if we had great energy policies that promoted growth and conserve the environment, which we already were doing, cut it all off. We destroy the pipeline. Do you see what's going on here? Now, I find this next information a bit peculiar. There's a parody site, or so he says, out there called Real Raw News. Now, it calls itself a political parody site, like the Babylon Bee, and it recently posted a story about Deese, stating he met an untimely demise at Gitmo back on January 25th, 23. And why? Because of suspicious damage to our food supply through destruction of processing plants, farms, and now egg processing plants. You can read about this out on realnews.com, one of the top headlines. So within 8 days of this quote-unquote parody, Deese is suddenly gone from the Biden administration. You know, in the past, Real Raw News has made some pretty outlandish claims. Hence, they label themselves a parody site. However, recently, it demonstrated an uncanny ability to post a story that shortly thereafter ties into something that really did happen in the real world. Now, here's how the site owner, the publisher, and the writer comments on this classification as a parody site. And I just forgot the guy's name who owns and operates this site, and I apologize. But here's what he wrote. Information on this website is for informational and educational and entertainment purposes. This website contains humor, parody, and satire. We have included this disclaimer for our protection on the advice of legal counsel. So the question you have to ask now, folks, is what is parody and what isn't? But we have to keep moving, and it's time for Coop Talk with Henrietta. Hey, Henrietta. Is it cold enough for you today? You know, folks, it's about 9 degrees, maybe 8 degrees out there right now. And if you watch the news, you'd swear We're living on a different planet. Not my words, theirs last night on the news. Hey, I remember weeks we went at like 10 degrees below zero. I remember delivering newspapers back when I was in school, and it was literally 0 degrees for weeks on end. And today we get a cold night or two, and it's the end of the world. But that's enough on the weather, Henrietta. How are you doing? How are you doing, Henrietta? What's going on? How did you recover from that food story we did last week? Yeah, I know. It was pretty disturbing, wasn't it? Well, there's more bad news, Henrietta. More bad news. A massive fire, and everybody's heard about it on the news now, mysteriously occurs at an egg farm plant up in Connecticut. And 100,000 of your kin die. Oh, come on, come on, Henrietta, you're going to get the whole flock worked up here. Henrietta, this next news story is very, very alarming, especially for your type, you know, chickens. But this massive three-alarm fire at the Hillendale Farm egg facility up in Schwartz Road, Bozra, Connecticut, happened last Saturday, right after the show, folks. And there were fire departments in from Colchester, Salem, and Lebanon. And several other towns, they all responded, put out this blaze. But at the end, 100,000 chickens and a rather large egg barn totally destroyed. Now, since last year, egg prices have gone up about 66%. Isn't that interesting? That's the number out of the article, folks. And they claim it's because of egg shortages from the avian flu and now all these mysterious fires. Now, there are papers or articles out there. One of them's from the Watt Poultry Group. And they said that the U.S. egg industry is experiencing fire-related issues. And it goes on to talk about barn fires plaguing the industry right now. There have been 5 of the 7 fires, accounting for an estimated loss of 1.4 million hens. I believe it was 100,000 that were destroyed in this past fire. But if you look back on these fires, they're wiping out our egg supply. But here's how the mainstream media reports on it. Maybe you're noticing these things more because you're subjected to the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. Now, you may be saying, well, what's the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon? Yeah, that's called the red car syndrome. You decide to buy a red car, and next thing you know, there's red cars all over the road. It's not because there's more red cars on the road now, but you're just noticing them. In fact, Carrie and I are noticing more red-colored Subaru Foresters on the road now. Doesn't mean there's more. We got a red-colored Forester, and now we're seeing them. And that's the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon. So that's how the mainstream lying media is explaining this away. Or perhaps you're sensitive to farm fires because it's hard to dismiss the recent fires at food production plants all around the country. Well, yeah, there's over 100 of them right now, folks. And there's this group, another mainstream hack called Facts Matter by Roman Belmakov. And he says that it's indicated by some of the social media postings regarding the food processing fire plants that these were actually events back from 2020 and 2021, not recently. Folks, say whatever you want, but here's the point. As Dr. Huff said in his interview with Mike Adams, about 80% of our food supply infrastructure is now controlled by about 5 big food participants, and China's gaining more and more control of this food supply. So all they really have to do is attack the remaining 20% not controlled by China and the big 5. You get my point, folks. You're starting to connect the dots. Remember, I can't explain what the Matrix is to you. You have to see it for yourself. I'm telling you, this is all part of the deep state's globalistic Agenda 2020. It's morphed into Agenda 2030 because they ran out of time when the disruptor Trump came along and went populist on them instead of globalist. That's why they hated him, not because of any of his behaviors. All those politics do that. They hated him because his agenda was contrary to the handler's objective, their handler's objective, world domination, where they're going to seat their king, the Antichrist. So they're fabricating all these things from the COVID scam they're creating events like these food shortages, energy scarcity, wars and rumors of wars. Why? Because they plan to cull one teen out of every 15 of us. They want to take our global population of about 8 billion down to half a billion. And this is all part of their plan. So they're destroying food processing. They're destroying public health. They're destroying the money system. They're destroying employment. They are guilty of allowing foreign invaders to cross our borders. They're guilty of destroying our economy. They're guilty of harming and killing our children. And I'm sure the politically ignorant, the naive, the gullible, the disinterested people, you know, the normies, the blue-pilled, they're clueless, but I'm encouraged because I see them finally starting to wake up. You know, we've got forest fires, church fires, pregnancy care center fires, and now food processing fires, refinery fires, and it's all a great mystery. Folks, it's not by accident. This is the way the Marxists work. And the Marxists are part of the Sabbateans. Are you connecting the dots, folks? Now, there's actual proof that 57 million birds supposedly contracted bird flu. At least that's what the mainstream media says. So what do? They destroy the flock. But is that true? And then why is tractor supply chicken feed causing hens to stop laying? Have you had enough of the World Economic Forum and Gates and the globalists yet, folks? Hey, Henrietta, are you falling asleep over there? Am I ranting? Maybe I need to move on. I'm telling you, folks, if people can't see now that these Marxists are doing all this intentionally to destroy the Republic, folks, I'm telling you, if we don't wake up and say no, we deserve whatever fate they've planned for us. Folks, it's so obvious now that our military has been infiltrated. Just look at these weather balloons. There's not one, but there's two now. They're busy trying to start World War III as they cover up all the corruption of the Biden administration and every other past administration that was done through Ukraine, their money laundering center. I'm telling you, it's all the more reason that we need to prep. We need to become food independent as soon as you can, folks. Let's get this. Just this past week, Emerald Robinson reported that Bill Gates has just invested in an artificial egg technology. Now, this report comes out at the same time that a study showing that the natural egg yolks contain an antibody that attacking these synthetic eggs can't do. No yolking, folks. No pun intended. I just had to throw that in there. But I'm babbling, and Henrietta's fallen asleep, and it's time to move on to our Hopium report.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hopium Report, where dreamers of all sorts come for their faith snort. Prepare to get high on Hopium.
So there's this college basketball player from, where was he? I just forgot what school he was at. Down in South Carolina, Clemson. Clemson college basketball player Brevin Galloway had a sudden nutsack explosion. I didn't know what else to call it, so I just coined a new acronym, SNSE, sudden nutsack explosion. It's also known as orchitis, but just have a listen to this that he posted up on, I think it was TikTok.
So this morning I went to Lyft. I came back. I took a nap, I woke up from my nap, my balls and my nutsack were exploded. Now, I go to the doctor, I have surgery, 3 hours later, my balls are reduced to the normal size. I don't know what happened to my balls. I guess they were trying to be like basketballs. But we made it. Now I'm going to be spoiled for the next 48 hours. And I will be back in a uniform shortly. Go Tigers. I love Clemson.
So I could have covered this in a new segment called the Hilarium Report. That's kind of funny, folks, if it wasn't so sad. But why did I put it in the Hopium Report? Well, back in September of 2021, the rap star Nicki Minaj shared a tweet that her cousin in Trinidad won't get the COVID-19 vaccine because his friend's testicles became swollen after taking it. Another case of SNSD, folks, or orchitis. Then on September 13th, 21, Nicki Minaj tweeted, and I'm going to just quote it, "My cousin in Trinidad won't get the vaccine because his friends got it and become impotent. His testicles became swollen. His friend was weeks away from getting married. Now the girl called off the wedding. Just pray on it and make sure you're comfortable with your decision, not bullied." Now, her tweet prompted the Biden regime to respond with damage control. And this next clip is back when Jen Psaki was the presser secretary. And then I have some clips tied in there from their establishment media lapdogs. So let's have a listen to this clip on how they responded to what Nicki Minaj posted concerning another VAERS effect, you know, vaccine adverse reaction. Have a listen.
Did the White House extend an invitation to Nicki Minaj to come here?
Well, first, we don't see this as a point of tension or disagreement. I want you all to know that we engage all the time with people who have big public platforms or profiles. Some of them we talk about. Some of them are here. Some of them you don't even know about because they're just looking for questions to be answered. We offered a call with Nicki Minaj and one of our doctors to answer questions she had about the safety and effectiveness of the vaccine. This is pretty standard and something we do all the time. It was a very early stage call at a staff level, staff to staff, and we weren't even at the point of discussing, or we're not even at the point of discussing, I should say, at this point, the mechanisms or the formats or anything along those lines. It was simply an offer to have a conversation and an early stage call.
And do you think that's going to happen?
We'll see. I don't have anything to predict for you.
What kind of responsibility do you think someone like Nicki Minaj has, someone with a really big platform, when it comes to talking about the vaccine?
Well, our hope is that anyone who has a big platform is going to project accurate information about the effectiveness of the vaccine, the safety of the vaccine, and the availability of the vaccine. At the same time, and both can be true, we also recognize that people have questions out there. They have questions they want to have answered by their doctors. We have doctors who can answer questions. And this is something, again, in our outreach to celebrities, it follows a pretty standard process. We, officials who are working on these issues and engage in regular conversations, offer to answer questions, offer to do that privately sometimes. Sometimes it's done publicly. And I would say that if we believed that everybody who had skepticism about the vaccine wasn't someone we should engage with or talk to, we wouldn't have made the progress we've made. I mean, remember back in December, only 33% of the American people were open to getting vaccinated. Now more than 75% have had at least one shot. So part of our strategy and our objective from the beginning has been engaging with people who have questions to help answer their questions.
The answer to that, Jake, is a resounding no. There's no evidence that it happens, nor is there any mechanistic reason to imagine that it would happen. So the answer to your question is no.
As far as we know, at this point in time, there has been no such reported either side effect or adverse event. And what was sad about this is that it wasted our time yesterday trying to track down, because we take all these claims seriously.
Well, so her cousin's friend, who has orchitis is the term, medical term for swollen testicles, you know, I have no doubt that this is something that has happened to this individual, and also have no doubt really that it's not related to the vaccine. I mean, that's the thing, is you get a lot of people out there who have these you know, you have 32% of the country of Trinidad vaccinated, you're going to have people who have concomitant issues with the vaccine that have nothing to do with the vaccine. So I don't think that that's a problem. People are going to read about that, vaccine causing orchitis or swollen testicles. that's not a thing. That's not something to worry about. Now, in terms of being impotent or, you know, fertility issues, that has been a misconception almost since the vaccines rolled out. There's all sorts of different, you know, reasons why that became a misconception, but there are plenty of studies. Nicki Minaj says she wants to do her research. There's plenty of research out there. The Journal of the American Medical Association looked specifically at fertility issues and didn't find fertility issues. You have nearly 200 million people now who've received the shots in the United States, billions of people around the world. This is not an issue. So, you know, I appreciate her wanting to do the research. It's out there. I wish her cousin's friend well, but that's not related to the vaccine. It may be related to another type of infection that could have been prevented by a vaccine, but not the COVID-19 vaccine.
So let me just comment on that clip. First, you had the liar, the press secretary for the imposter-in-chief Biden, Miss Redhead herself, lie. And then there was some music playing, and you couldn't see all the actual statistics of adverse effects. And then we had the fraud Fauci. We had Tedros from the World Health Organization. And then the media slave, CNN, the hack doctor, Sanjay Gupta, you know, the one that lied on Joe Rogan? Lie about reproductive health concerning the jab. You know, there's two ways this population reduction juice is actually going to work. First, it's going to kill people, and then it's going to compromise the reproductive systems of all the young adults. And that's what's happening. Now, here's how the mainstream media is reporting on Clemson Brevin Galloway's sudden nutsack explosion. They're saying he's out after undergoing emergency testicular torsion surgery. I guess that's another way to talk about orchitis. Now, it's true that this sort of injury does happen to young men, folks, okay? But ER physicians are reporting an increase in cases of orchitis since the jab. Now, why isn't that being reported to the CDC and the FDA? See what I mean about connecting the dots? So we know as a fact, and there's peer-reviewed papers out there, that the jab attacks the reproductive systems in young adults. And I'm hoping now that this story, normies, as we hear more and more talk about adverse vaccine effects. Are you connecting the dots yet, folks? Can you see the matrix? Do you hear me now? We have to keep moving. It's time for our Absurdian
Report.
Ladies
and gentlemen, welcome to the world of the absurd. This is the Absurdium Report.
Life mimics theater, but fiction is safer. The curtain rises. The show begins.
Now, this next clip is so absurd, folks, I couldn't resist. You may have heard now that there was a Finnish farmer, a 59-year-old named Markku Pekka Antikainen. Now, he took up figure skating about 9-10 years ago, okay? And somewhere in between, he declared himself a trans. And now he's out trying to skate. And I use that term, trying, because that's exactly what he's doing. It looks like me, except I don't dress up like a girl when I get on a set of skates and go out on the ice. But now he identifies as Mina Maria, and he was featured at the opening ceremony of the European Figure Skating Championship. And Finland was just so proud to announce that they're including the world's first trans figure skater at the proceedings, only to discover with the eyes of the world upon this that this dude couldn't skate. Now, they ignored warnings that people told them about this trans athlete, quote unquote, who wasn't qualified for the event. But strangely, all of it was ignored. So this gender-confused farmer named Markku was featured, and it's hilarious. So I have Paul Watson from InfoWars giving a 3.5-minute commentary on this as he's watching him skate as a her. Have a listen.
Finland proudly announced that it would be including the world's first trans figure skater at the European Figure Skate Championship. Markku-Pekka Antikainen took up the sport aged 50, declared himself trans, and then started performing under the female name Mina Maria. The European Championships performance was heralded as a stunning victory for diversity and inclusivity. One problem, Mina Maria can't skate. Come on, here we go. Here they comes. Come on, you go, girl. You got this. Yes. Yes, hold it. Hold it and turn. Yeah. Yes. And ready, go. Yes. Well done. And now, oh, shit. No, it's fine. It's fine. Get up. Get up. It's all right. Get up. No. Yep. Yeah. Try again. Come on. No. Send in the flag, girls. Yeah, help him. I mean, help her up. Yeah, get the flag. Come on, Mina Marina. You can go again now. No, it's not like they weren't warned. Mina Maria previously competed at the 2020 Junior Cup. Stunning, skilled, energetic performance. The judges awarded second place. Zero Hedge comments, similar to the way in which children competitors are sometimes given special treatment because judges are afraid to hurt their feelings. The culture of participation trophies and special allowances for trans participants is slowly erasing competitive environments and turning athletics into a joke. Okay, transphobe. All I see is a culture of stunning bravery. The party told you to reject the evidence of your eyes and ears. It was their final, most essential command.
Bravo, Paul, bravo. That was fantastic on that voiceover. You know what I love about you, brother, is how you can take these serious subjects and add your own comedic spin to them. That was great. I laughed so hard when I first watched that, folks, that my stomach hurt. So the woke media called this stunt a stunning, brave, talented female. But the sad absurdity of the matter, folks, is that this crazy guy is none of these things, none. You know, the great Russian writer Dostoevsky once said, tolerance will reach such a level, will be forbidden to think so as not to offend fools. And then everybody heard about the tragedy over in Memphis, where those six, now there's six, police officers involved in the fatal beating of Tyre Nichols. But what you might not know, folks, is that these supposed cops, not all of them, but some of them, had felony charges in the past. And what's going on here is that the city of Memphis, actually the city council of Memphis, wanted to embrace diversity in their police force. So what they did is they lowered their standards for new hires. So they got rid of all the good ones, and they're bringing in these people with criminal records for training and vetting. So this source within the Memphis PD said that these five charged officers, before they brought that sixth one in, weren't hired through the usual structured police department hiring process. City leaders intervened and felt it was necessary to do so because the existing process was too strict and kept certain people from getting jobs in the department. Well, do you think maybe that was there for a purpose, so that they demonstrated mental health, restraint, discipline, a certain modicum of intelligence? You know, folks, this is absurd. It truly is. Now, one more little clip or one little comment on Absurdian. Did you hear what's going on now with all the NATO countries? Did you hear? They're going to start sending Abrams tanks and Leopard tanks from Germany and all these other places. Now, these tanks are high tech. And the ones from the U.S. contain top secret ballistic armor and are literally powered by jet engines.
Gosh, golly, golly, gosh.
Now, that's right, Gomer. It's gosh golly for sure. These advanced weapon systems require extensive training, folks. Operate and maintain. Plus, they require air support, so you can't send battle tanks without aircraft. So think about this. The missiles led to tanks, which will lead to fighter aircraft, which will lead to nukes. If we, the people, don't stand up and say no. I'm telling you, folks, this is pure and unadulterated absurdity. And what do you expect from an imposter in chief who had something crazy like this, something this absurd to say this week in a press conference?
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
Connecting the dots yet, folks? He's there because the Chinese want him there. In fact, you've heard about these Chinese spy balloons. Yes, plural. Now, there's been another confirmed. This guy, this imposter in chief, is corrupt. He's compromised, folks. The Biden regime refused to shoot the balloon down. Why? Because they're afraid somebody's going to get hurt. You know what the odds of that are? You know, there's word out now that the Chinese required support from the Biden regime to even make these balloons happen. I mean, think about it. He can't launch these across the Pacific Ocean. The jet stream and all the various currents. See, these things are above commercial aircraft altitudes, but below satellite altitude. So you get up into that Gulf Stream there, you can't control those. So these had to be launched near our coast, or in fact, in our mainland. So it required support from the corrupt Biden regime to make this happen. And then did you hear that Bilken, who was supposed to make a visit to Beijing next week, canceled his trip? And then, like I mentioned, that second one, it flew right over the heartland. Now, think about this, folks. In World War II, the Japanese used similar balloons to spread chemical and biological agents over China. And then Bill Gates just warned us that an even worse scamdemic is coming. And then Biden pushes off the COVID emergency until May 11th. He's not going to end it till May 11th. And the WHO's pushing for the scamdemic treaty. Connecting the dots in the matrix yet, folks? How about it, Neo? Remember, no one can show you the matrix, Neo. You must see it for yourself. And that's the truth. You remember that, folks? We've covered this in so much detail over past shows. We truly have. In fact, let me see if I can find that, okay? Matrix Red Pill. Here it is.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. Remember, all I'm offering is the truth, nothing more.
You know, this absurdity is real, folks. It really is.
More than half the women in my cabinet, more than half the women in my administration are women.
You know, Brandon should be required to prove that claim, since it's his regime. They claim they can't define what a woman is. And then in another moment of clarity, I'm talking intellectual brilliance, Joe Biden admitted. Are you ready for this, folks? Are you listening? Do I have your attention? I don't think I do. Henrietta, you're over there sleeping. Wake up, Henrietta. Okay, do I have everybody's attention right now? So this week, in another moment of clarity, the imposter-in-chief, JoJo Biden, also known as Brandon, stated that water is wet. That was a joke, folks. It didn't go over very well. Henrietta's over there in the corner, like, scowling at me. And Paul, stop making those faces at me. But, hey, I'm looking at the clock, and I'm running out of time. I'm having fun today, folks, but I am running out of time. And now it's time for Ken's Corner, spelled with a K.
Welcome to Ken's Corner, spelled with a K, where I'll share my life experiences to help you understand what's going on in this crazy, crazy world. So let's get started.
Now, what I do here is try to share my experience from a life I've lived. But I know some of the listeners, especially the new ones, or the ones that have come over from Tribulation Now, may think that the content of these podcasts are all over the place. You may be saying, bro, Ken, tighten it up a bit. What are you doing? For example, so when I talk about the scamdemic, you might question, what are you doing? But the question you ought to ask is, who's really behind it all? When I talk about the election fraud, you may be saying, well, show me some evidence. They're all over. But the question you ought to be asking is, who's really behind it all? And when I get into the whole Jew, is that a race, a religion, or politics topic, you shouldn't be yelling, anti-Semitic. You should be asking the question, well, who's behind that whole thing? And this line of thinking ought to be the line of thinking that you always have at the forefront of your minds as you hear the various topics we cover here on SDG. So the question you always ought to be asking is, who's really behind it all? So apply that to the money system. The narrative we have in history that modern man is only 6,000 years old, and then compare it to the Netflix Ancient Apocalypse series. Or when I talk about the Sabbateans and the secret societies and subversive movements, apply this reasoning to everything you hear on the show. Who's really behind it all? And I'm telling you, folks, when you do that, you're going to start connecting the dots. And soon, you're going to see the Matrix. And you're going to discover that it's the Nephilim and their offspring and their minion. Now, that's who I'm referring to when I call them whatever you want. Call them the Luciferians. Call them the one percenters. Call them the deep state, the globalists, the communists. That list can go on and on. What I'm referring to are the Nephilim and their offspring. So the question people may be asking, well, who are the Nephilim? Well, they're the offspring of the fallen angels and the daughters of man, also known as giants, or just some wealthy and influential men, as all the insiders to religion and the deep state all say. So in today's segment at Ken's Corner, I'm going to answer the $64,000 question. Who's behind it all? Well, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4, when human beings began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of humans were beautiful, and they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days. And also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of humans and had children with them, they were the heroes of men of old, men of renown. Folks, the truth is that the Nephilim are part fallen angel and part human, and they manifested as giants. According to Genesis 6, the Nephilim were the children of the offspring of the relationship between fallen angels, also known as sons of God, and daughters of men. Now, truth seekers know this. Truth seekers know, folks, that the sons of God were fallen angels or demons who reproduced with human females and possessed qualities of man, yet on a grotesque, obscenely large scale. And they became the gods of the Greeks. So why would fallen angels reproduce with humans? Well, they have one clear motive. fallen angels or demons were trying to distort the human lineage to stop the pure bloodline, to delay or to eliminate the arrival of the Messiah. Remember, God assured mankind that the Messiah would come and crush the head of Satan. Genesis 3, verse 15. Are you connecting the dots, folks? So the fallen sons of God, you know, one-third of the angels that went with Lucifer during the angel wars, these were the ones who left their first estate, as St. Jude says in his short epistle. So the ones in Genesis 6 were attempting to prevent Messiah from coming and make it impossible for the innocent seed of the woman to ever be born. Plus, you can find Nephilim in all the supporting literature to the sacred scriptures. It's all over ancient Hebrew literature. This is insane, isn't it, folks? It truly is. Now, I'm looking at the time, and I'm running out of time, but I'm telling you, giants are real. It's in the archaeological evidence that's been hidden by the Smithsonian. Steve Quell will tell you all about that. Are you connecting the dots yet, folks? We've been lied to with history. We've been lied to with our origin. We've been lied to concerning our destiny. And even in the church. So the fallen angels who bred with the human females are the ones who are, and I quote, bound with everlasting chains, as Jesus said. Yeah, they're going to make a return. And how do we know that? Because the book of Revelation tells us that the gates to the abyss will be opened. Can anyone say CERN? So the mainstream believers who don't know these truths are being lied to by the establishment theologians, people like James Emery White. Folks, he's an insider. And White is suppressing this. Now, White holds a BS degree in public relations and business from Appalachian State University. He has a master's in divinity and a PhD in divinity from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And he received a Garrett Teaching Fellowship in both New Testament and theology from none other than Vanderbilt University. And he also received a fellowship at the Oxford University in England, all inside universities and seminaries. Need I say more? Are you connecting the dots? So let's listen to what Dr. White has to say about explaining these scriptures that talk about the Nephilim, you know, the men of renown, the offspring of women and fallen angels, the giants. Now, this next clip is his writing that I processed through 11 Labs AI voice technology. Have a listen to this 2.5-minute clip.
The Bible refers to the intermarriage between the sons of God and the daughters of men, and then, shortly thereafter, references that another antediluvian before the flood dynamic was the presence of the Nephilim. The sons of God were not fallen angels, as their intermarriage with human women would not only have violated the created order, but it is highly doubtful that a demon, which is what a fallen angel would have been, would be referred to as a son of God. They would not have been righteous angels either, for they would not have been sinning against God in this way. Jesus settled the matter anyway, when he taught that angels neither marry nor are given in marriage. Most would see the phrase sons of God as referring to godly men, and daughters of men referring to sinful women. Note, they are not called daughters of God. Undoubtedly women from the line of Cain. So here you have the intermarriage of the men of Seth with the women of Cain, a loss of the purity of the people of God. You could also read the sons of God as royal figures, which kings were called in those days, who set themselves up as deities. The key is that here, men were crossing God's marital boundary lines. So then who were the Nephilim? The Bible notes that they were the heroes of old, men of renown. Beyond the reference in the story of Noah in Genesis 6, they are also mentioned in Numbers 13 as the people of great size that Caleb and Joshua and the other spies encountered when they explored the Promised Land. However, the mention of their size was clearly an exaggeration on the part of the spies who wanted to argue against the positive report offered by Caleb and Joshua. So here were simply mighty men of wealth, strength, or valor. The Hebrew word literally means the fallen ones, indicating that in the eyes of other men they were heroes and princes, but in God's eyes they were those who chose a life of sin. So where did the idea of the Nephilim being fallen angels, or the offspring of fallen angels and humans, originate? The pseudepigraphical and non-canonical writing is known as I. Enoch, 6176. This legend was later picked up and promoted by the Jewish historian Josephus, Antiquities 1, 3.1. Also, a Greek translation of the Old Testament in the 3rd century erroneously translated sons of God as angels of God. And while sons of God can refer to angels of God in other contexts, for example Job 1, 2, 1, and 38, 7, it clearly does not fit here.
Okay, so what do you think? I'm talking about the 11 Labs AI voice technology. What did you think? You know, we could do an entire show on that and chat GPI. Put those two together, and you're going to have robots writing sermons. But this is what you have from the mainstream concerning this whole thought concerning the Nephilim or the men of renown. And I'm telling you, folks, it's all lies meant to obfuscate and confuse. Occam's razor applies here, folks. The easiest explanation is usually the right explanation. And the explanation I gave you concerning the Nephilim right out of the Bible, that's the simplest explanation. And it's supported by all the history and all the supporting historical documents and what they're finding in the digs archaeologically. So think about the twisted thinking, the stinking thinking, the contorted logic that Dr. White had to go to explain away the truth. And folks, when you know the truth, which is Jesus, you will be set free. You will be set free from the matrix. I'm looking at the time, folks, and I'm running out. We didn't even get to Back to the Future yet. Now, this is the segment where we take something old and bring it back to the future. So today, folks, what we want to do is wind the clock back, all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. And I place that somewhere before the Younger Dryas event of 12,850 years ago. And as we've discussed on previous shows, this is the time before the Noahic flood. And I encourage you just to go out and read Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 again, where God explains to us why he had to destroy man. And the reason was because the fallen angels had offspring with the daughters of man and produced these Nephilim, the men of renown, the giants. Now, I shared with you in Ken's Corner my thoughts on this matter, and I believe this all happened back further back than 12,850 years ago, before the comet strike that caused the Noahic flood or was a contributor to the Noahic flood. So now let's wind the clock back up to ancient Greek that was somewhere between 12,000 and 9,000 BC after this cataclysm, all the way up to the time of Alexander the Great, say around 330 BC. And this is when the Greek goddess Aphrodite was introduced to us through conventional history. So who was Aphrodite? Well, if you get into the normie history and literature, you're going to see she's the Greek goddess of love, arising from the foam of the waves of the sea. And there's this story that goes on. And she's a contender in the story of the golden apple. And you can read about all this, but she's the goddess of love and the goddess of sex. She's gorgeous, perfect, eternally young, beautiful body. And she's symbolic with her girdle and decorated belt of the magical powers to compel love. So sex is a potent control mechanism. And you can go on and learn all about her children and sacred plants and her birthplace. And that's how all of the mainstream historians talk about her. And then on the island of Cyprus back in 2010, they found some things at the former or ancient site of the Temple of Aphrodite. And what they found were things that predated Aphrodite. And now we have to wind the clock back. Oh, and by the way, This is where Wonder Woman came from, just so you know, the magic lasso to compel truth. It's not very different than Aphrodite's magical girdle that compelled love. And think about Wonder Woman's physical perfection. Isn't it similar to Aphrodite's? But this is how the normies and the blue-pilled feed upon all of this mainstream historical lies. But if we wind the clock back to the pre-flood again, and we look at this archaeological evidence they found in Cyprus and Thessalonica and all these other areas where she was worshipped, we're going to find an alternative to the myth. And here's where it gets stranger than fiction. It truly does. So on the island of Cyprus, there's a record of these classical Greek carvings of these voluptuous statues, Venuses, that predate Aphrodite. They're fat, they have huge thighs, big hips, a pronounced vulva, curvy breasts, and a huge pregnant belly. And instead of a neck and a head, there's a phallus with eyes. And they're known as the Lady of Lemba, a wondrous mix of male and female. Folks, that's the offspring of the unholy union of the fallen angels and women. Are you connecting the dots yet? So the ancestors of Aphrodite were actually incarnations of the truth. Then the flood happens, and the Greeks establish, and they create a goddess out of this. With all these wonderful features, you seeing how this all works? Now let's wind the clock century. And the follow-up to the Sabbatean sect, you know, the Frankists, we've talked about them on past shows, and Jacob Frank. Did you know he was into sex magic? In fact, David Kana has a book called The Book of Darkness. And in his book, he says, on the 26th day of the month of Shavat in 1756, the followers of Frank in the town of Lanskron Podolia, I think that was somewhere over near Poland, the members of the Frankist sect gathered in the morning at the inn of one of their members, closed all the windows in secrecy, took the rabbi's wife inside, a beautiful, promiscuous woman, sat her down naked on a throne, placed a Torah crown upon her head, and danced around her in orgastic, orgy-like revelry, playing instruments, falling on her, kissing her, while calling her the Mezu. Now, this was a sex ritual. And this continued all the way up to the time of Tsarist Russia with Rasputin. You know, the Russian mystic who lived from 1869 to 1916, a Sabbatean. In fact, did you know that Rasputin was into these occult sex orgies? A trusted advisor to the last Tsar. Folks, these occult sexual practices have never ended. And that's what's driving the LGBTQ plus agenda today. You see how this applies, folks? In fact, there was this news story just out on Fox 5 about a former movie star from the Dances with Wolves movie. You remember that one? Who was arrested, a Native American, arrested at his Vegas home that he shares with five wives for sexual assault against children. Let's have a listen to this two-minute report.
Within the last hour, we learned disturbing new information about the arrest of an actor known for his role in the movie Dances with Wolves.
This is a man right here. His name is Nathan Lee Chasing Horse. North Las Vegas police arrested him last night after a month-long investigation. This was following accusations of sexually assaulting young indigenous girls.
Fox 5's Danny Mastin has been going through that new arrest report. Danny, what have you learned?
John and Jacqueline, North Las Vegas police arrested Chasing Horse from his home here near Washburn and Losee. I did get a copy of that arrest report just a few hours ago now. It is said that he shares this house here with his five wives. And I have been keeping an eye out here, and from what I've seen, it doesn't look as if anyone is home at the moment. The warrant states the arrest stems from crimes allegedly committed in Clark County. They include sex trafficking, sexual assault of a child younger than 16, and child abuse. We captured video from when North Las Vegas police arrested him from his home. The search warrant says police have identified at least six alleged victims and uncovered sexual allegations against Chasing Horse dating to the early 2000s and in multiple states, which include Montana, South Dakota, and Nevada. According to the search warrant, Chasing Horse used spiritual traditions as a tool to sexually assault young girls and on numerous occasions, his followers calling him medicine man or holy person. Some of the alleged victims are as young as 13 years old. Chasing Horse is expected to appear in court tomorrow at 8 a.m. We will, of course, bring you the latest on that. Reporting live tonight, I'm Danny Mastin, Fox 5 News, local Las Vegas.
So there you have it, folks. Are you connecting the dots here? Do you do these sorts of perverse behaviors? No, of course not. Do you find them disturbing? Well, probably. Do you see how this is being engineered to lead to the collapse of stable, civilized society? You remember several years ago, I connected the dots linking these very same people, you know, the Sabbateans, to the very profitable porn industry. It's out there as an entire SDD show on it. So we have the two sides here. We have the light versus the dark. We have the godly versus the ungodly. We have the children of darkness versus the children of light. Well, let's just hear God's children of light, Mr. Rogers, on the Johnny Carson show, talking about gender orientation.
We were discussing sex when we did the takeoff on your show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever? Are they too young for that?
Not at all. That's where they learn the differences.
Yeah. Now, how do you handle it? What do you do to explain? What's your age range, would you think, who watch the show?
Mostly preschoolers, but I hesitate to say that because there's so many older people who watch.
Absolutely.
But there's a song called Everybody's Fancy.
That's right.
That I think some are fancy on the outside, some are fancy on the inside. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine, your body's fancy, and so is mine. The second verse is very important.
Now, what's the second verse?
Boys are boys from the beginning. Girls are girls right from the start. Everybody's fancy, everybody's fine, your body's fancy, and so is mine. Because sometimes children think that they might change. They might have to change after a while. And, you know, we laugh about that now. But it's because we had that concern when we were little.
Yeah, because you're really not sure, and you thought maybe you'd become a girl, or a girl would become a boy, right?
Exactly.
And it happens frequently out here. Sometimes.
So there you have it. And God bless Mr. Rogers and his family. You know, God chooses people to represent so many things in our society for a particular reason. And he chose the wonderful Fred Rogers here to be a beacon of truth and love and understanding in our society. Now, folks, I'm out of time. So what I want to do is just outline what we'll pick up on next week, and that's the power of worship. You know, Jesus said in John chapter 23 and 24, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshipers, that's you and me, folks, shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So next week we're going to cover this. But I'm telling you, there's power in worship. 3 verse 3, I believe it is, says that God habitates or inhabits praise of his people. So if you want power, you have to understand what true worship is. And you have to understand the meaning of true worship. You have to understand how to do it or what the motive for it is. And then also understand the methodology to achieve it. So we're going to cover that next week. But I would just want to encourage you folks that as you're connecting these dots and seeing who's behind the curtain and understanding it, follow the words of Winston Churchill and never give in. Never, no, never.
Never give in. Never give in. Never, never, never. In nothing, great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never yield to force. Never yield to the apparently overwhelming might of the enemy.
So let's lift our hands up and recognize that that same spirit that rose Jesus from the grave, the third person of the Holy Trinity, the Holy Spirit, lives in you and me when we believe. And that same power will give us the power to move mountains, to raise the dead, to heal the sick, and to say no to the enemy. I love you all. We'll be back next week.
We're living in a very defining time in our generation, where fear is creeping in and the uncertainty of the unknown is everywhere.
I can see what is raging at my feet. I can feel the breath of those surrounding me. I can hear the sound of nations rising up. We will not be overtaken. We will not be overcome. I can walk.
There's an urgency like never before in my heart to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. To show a world that looks like there is no hope, that in Jesus alone you will find that hope and peace. To stand up in the midst of adversity and tribulation, and to show the unconditional love of our Savior while not shying away from speaking the truth of God's Word. Cry out for change in our world, but many times you are left asking, how can I make a difference? What do I do next? The truth is, we can do nothing. In our own strength and our own power, we will fail. But Jesus himself said to the disciples, I leave with you my spirit. In Romans 8:11 it says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Let's step out in his power. Let's proclaim the name of Jesus in boldness and love. And when the attacks come from all sides, walk in the understanding that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, because the enemy has been defeated and his victory is in Jesus.